We hope today's edition of The Hour of Power will be encouraging and uplifting for you and your family. If you have a prayer request you would like to send after the program, email it to hourofpower32@gmail.com. You're listening to a broadcast produced daily, Monday through Friday at 9 a.m. on therockchristianmusic.com and live on Facebook on The Rock Christian Music page. Or you can find us on the Paragon Communications app and take us with you everywhere. Let us pray.
Good morning. You are tuned in to the Hour of Power this morning. It is the most powerful hour of my day. I'm Monica Lovell in the driver's seat. My beautiful sister Renee is over there running the iPad. And our guest this morning is our beautiful sister in Christ, Miss Renee Kielhofer. How are you this morning?
I'm good. Lots of Renee's today.
I figured it would be a good day to double up. Doubling up the blessings and all that God has for us.
Well, I just think you can't have too many Renee's.
No, never. If you have a praise report or a prayer request, you can send that to our email, hourofpower32@gmail.com. You can also put it in the comments, and you can also send it in a private message through Facebook. We do record in two parts, and we'll do our best to get that posted shortly after the program is ended. We do have a sponsorship open for Wednesdays. If you're interested in sponsoring Wednesdays, you can contact us through email, hourofpower32@gmail.com, and we'll get you all the information needed. Remember to like, share, and comment so that we know you're tuned in. I think I covered it all.
I think so.
Would you pray to start us out, sister?
Absolutely. Precious Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this time that we can come together and we can just talk about you and just be in your presence. And Father, I just ask that you would take this conversation today and just anoint it for the ears that need to hear it. Open our hearts to receive from you, that we would just be different than before we had these conversations. God, just do what only you can do. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. I like your title. Happy Valentine's Day.
Happy Valentine's Day. Kind of a hodgepodge of things I'm going to talk about today, but it is Valentine's Day, and so I wanted to keep kind of coming back to that because I want us to talk about the lover of our soul today, and we know that is Jesus Christ, and we'll get a little deeper into that. But I also know that there might be some people out there listening who are maybe single or widowed, and this is kind of a sad day for them because they think the whole world is, you know, celebrating their love and they're getting flowers from their husbands or their boyfriends and stuff like that. So I just want to make you feel better and say that is not happening in my life. I have a sweet husband, but he's not extremely thoughtful. And if I get flowers today, that, you know, it's probably not happening. So I just want you to know that everything is not like it seems. And all the stuff you see on Facebook, that ain't true, most of it. So so don't feel bad. Just enjoy your day and know that you are loved. Because so many of us struggle daily for some kind of rest or relief. You know, just from all that it takes to live our lives from day to day, like the mental aspect of just living our lives can just easily make us so exhausted that we can't even fathom taking time for our spiritual health. So that's exactly where Satan wants us to be. And it really is about mental exhaustion. I'm attending a small group at our church right now, and we are studying Battlefield of the Mind. And it's so eye-opening. I've actually read the book several times before. It's been around for probably 15, 20 years. And I've actually even led a small group twice on this book. And every time I read it, I'm like, wow, wow. And it's so you know, you forget. I think we need to be reminded of these things continually, really. At least I do. Because I always, it's always a check for me what I'm letting into my mind. But so this morning I want to just kind of hit on some of the high points that we've talked about so far in there. And the reason is because if we can win the battle in our minds, then we set our lives on a course for relief and rest. And that's what we want. We want that peace in our soul. And the Bible says that we pursue peace, you know, that we are supposed to pursue peace. And I think we talked about this last time, that peace is a battle position. In the armor of God, you know, the shoes represent peace. And in that armor, they actually had these spikes that were like 5 or 6 inches long in the bottom of their shoes. And so they would dig those in and to make them steady and stable. And so that peace brought stability. That was a battle position. Come on, get me, because I know where I stand and you can't knock me down. And so in our pursuit of peace, then it takes some effort to dig down and get stable in there. And so I love that, because we think of, and I think the world kind of presents us this picture of peace just being, you know, thrust upon us, where we're doing nothing. We're, you know, laying in a meadow full of golden flowers that might actually turn out to be weeds, but we're just laying in this meadow and there's a stream, you know, rippling behind us and the sun is shining, but it's not too hot because there's a gentle breeze and we're cool and all of life is perfect. And that's just not the reality of peace. You don't just stumble upon it one day. You pursue peace. And so we've all probably thought or even said from time to time, like, I can't help what I think. You know, I can't help it. That's what I think. I mean, I think I've probably said that before. But yet the word tells us in 2 Corinthians 10, verses 4 and 5, and I want to read this in several different versions because that's how I like to study. But the first one is in the English Standard Version. It says, "For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but have divine power to destroy strongholds. We destroy arguments and every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God, and take every thought that just flows into your mind, we take those thoughts captive to obey Christ." Now, in the New Living Translation, it reads like this: "We use God's mighty weapons, not worldly weapons, to knock down the strongholds of human reasoning and destroy false arguments. We destroy every proud obstacle that keeps people from knowing God. We capture their rebellious thoughts and teach them to obey Christ." Now, and y'all, if y'all know me, we're going to the Message now. And that's like my favorite. "The world is unprincipled. It's dog eat dog out there. The world does not fight fair. But we don't live or fight our battles that way. Never have, never will. The tools of our trade aren't for marketing or manipulation." I love that. The tools of our trade are not for manipulation, but they are for demolishing that entire massively corrupt culture. We use our powerful God tools for smashing warped philosophies, tearing down barriers erected against the truth of God, fitting every loose thought and emotion and impulse into the structure of life shaped by Christ. Our tools are ready at hand for clearing the ground of every obstruction and building lives of obedience into maturity." I love that. In building our lives into maturity. And that begins by taking every thought captive into the obedience of Christ. Isn't that not cool? You know, and God, here's the beauty. God would not have told us to do that if he had not also given us the power to do so. He's not going to tell us to do something that he is not going to empower us to do. So we can help what we allow our minds to dwell on. Now, Satan may drop some thoughts in our minds, but it's up to us what we let take up residence there. So the devil will argue with us. He'll offer up theories and reasonings, but the word says that we have weapons to overcome those strongholds. And when we allow those false theories and those reasonings to take up residence in our mind, meaning we meditate on those, we roll those thoughts around from, you know, moment to moment, we see everything that happens through the lens of those thoughts, then when we do that, we allow strongholds in our mind. That's the strongholds being built. And the more we do it, the harder they are to tear down. But the word says that we have weapons to overcome strongholds. So if you're at that place where you can't think about anything else and it's become a stronghold in your life, we have a weapon to tear down strongholds. So all of this activity, everything we talk about, is going on in the mind. The mind is the battlefield. That's where Satan starts with everything. Everything. So here's the summary. We're engaged in a war. We have to acknowledge that. Our enemy is Satan. The mind is the battlefield where he likes to fight. The devil works diligently to set up strongholds in our minds, and he does it through strategy and deceit, or in other words, well-laid plans and deliberate deception. That's his MO, and he is in no hurry. He's in no hurry. He takes his time to work out his plan. He begins to study you from the moment you come out of the womb. He figures out, you know, he's not all-knowing. Satan is not all-knowing. So he's watching you, and he's assigning demons to your life because Satan is not omniscient. He can't be everywhere. So he has to rely on his demonic entities or demons, and they study your life. They take notes. They figure out where your weaknesses are, where what's missing in your life, and they compile a strategy that's personal and specific to you to destroy your life and keep you from entering into a relationship with the Lord. But guess what? God knows who you are before you're ever formed in the womb. He doesn't have to take notes because he created you. He knows you from the inside out, and he has developed a plan that is personal and strategic for you to have victory in your life, to have a relationship with him, and to be victorious. And he's done everything that needs to be done for you to be able to live that life of victory. He's just as personal, but more so because he created you. So the battle is on here. In John 8, 31 through 32, in the New Living, it says, Jesus said to the people who believed him, "You are truly my disciples if you remain faithful to my teachings, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." So if we want to be victorious, we need to be obedient to the word, which means we have to know the word. And knowing the word means we know the truth. We know that God is faithful. He is for us. He loves mercy. He's almighty. There's no other name above the name of Jesus. Knowing that, understanding that, focusing on that, that sets us free. But it can't just be lip service. We can't just say, God is faithful. God loves me. God is for me. We have to know it from the inside out. Knowing it from the inside out is what brings us peace, makes us stable, makes us battle ready, makes us confident in who God is and what he says is true. That's where we're going to find real rest, real relief, real peace. So we have freedom in if we get to that place where we know in our knower, then we have freedom, freedom from anxiety, stress, depression, confusion, anger, etc. We are free. That freedom brings us emotional rest, which is peace. Peace in our soul. Once we understand all of that, we have a confidence that brings us that peace regardless of our situation. That peace that passes all understanding is what the word says. The peace, in other words, that the world can't comprehend because everything is upside down in your life, but yet you remain stable. And that's what peace is, being stable. It's stability in the storm. And the world can't understand that. But it starts by studying the word. You know, and we talk about that a lot. Study the word. Get in the word. All that's good, but the problem is that we study the word to see what we can get from God. And here's the caveat. We need to study the word so that we can get to know God. Know him personally, to learn his true character, that his character is a reality in our lives. Again, not so that we can figure out what we can get from God, but just so we get to know God better. That's what he wants. It's a relationship. You know, we should read the word like we watch a movie. You know, when we watch a movie, in the beginning, you know, all the characters are introduced, and we figure out pretty quickly who's the star of this show, who's the main character in this story. And so you watch the scenes to begin to figure out who this character is. Is this a good guy? Is this a bad guy? And if he turns out to be this like genuinely humble guy with a big heart, even though he may have some faults along the way, you know, you start to root for this guy. Whatever it is he's wanting, the longer the movie goes on, the more you're rooting for this guy and for things to go his way, even though he might have had some road rage along the way, or he might have, you know, knocked somebody out in the process. You've seen him in his secret moments, and you've seen his heart, and his character seems to be good, so you're rooting for him. And even if another character wrongs him or misjudges him in some way, you are genuinely sad for this character because he's been misjudged. And maybe his heart's been broken and you're sad about that because this person who broke his heart, for whatever reason, can't see that this main character had his best interest at heart, because they're not seeing the full picture because they weren't privy to those private scenes that we just saw. And so sometimes you just want to jump up and yell at the characters in the movie and be like, can't you see he's only doing XYZ for you? He's doing it to protect you. You know, don't you see how much he cares for you? You know, we get that way with movies. We get so invested in the character that we completely forget our own selves for a while. And that's the way we should study the word. We should study the word to get to know the character of God, and we should be so invested in the character of God and who he is that nothing else matters. And we begin to see his motivation even when it doesn't appear that he's doing what we want him to do, or it doesn't appear that he's doing what we think should be done in the story. But we see his motivation and we begin to trust his character. So instead of reading to see what all God can do for us, we must stop seeking the gift more than we seek the giver of the gift. Let's get to know who God is. And I have really, really kind of stumbled upon this Bible study that it's been around for a while in the new year, but it came up in my life two or three times within a 24-hour period. And I thought, I need to check this out. And it's called the Bible Recap. I don't know if any of you guys have heard about this or not, but it is like the greatest way, I think, to really study the Word and study the character of God. And it takes you through the Bible, completely through the Bible, in chronological order, because the books of the Bible are not necessarily set in a chronological order. For instance, Genesis is the first book of the Bible, but we got Job way over here, and Job's character actually lived at the same time as Abraham. So a lot of these things were going on simultaneously. And so the Bible Recap takes you through the Bible in a chronological order. And so it reads more like a story. And it is designed to take you through the whole Bible in 1 year. And at the end of every day's study or every day's reading, there is a little short video. They average about 8 minutes long that you watch. That's called the Bible Recap. And it recaps what you just read and ends with a God shot. What was the God shot today? What character of God was revealed in the reading today? And it helps you keep your focus on getting to know God instead of what can I get out of this? And that's why people have a problem studying the Word. Because they get in the Word to see what they can get out of it. And so they start reading and reading and reading, and they're reading through genealogies, or they're reading through the story that happened, you know, before Jesus was even born, and they're thinking, this is not helping my situation. Because they're looking at it from the total wrong point of view. Because God's Word is His love letter to us, His communication with us, His way of us getting to know Him. And so when we look at it that way, it just makes such a huge difference in what the Word does in our lives, because it's actually building a foundation of who God is. And once we get that from the inside out, then we can have confidence in His character, which is He loves us. He's for us. He wants the best in our lives. And even if it doesn't look like that's happening at this moment, we know who God is and we know He's working a plan. So this might be a great place to pause for a minute.
Let me reset this real quick.